Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, who is your God this morning? I'm not looking for a theological answer. I don't want you to quote the creed to me. I want you to imagine him as you would someone that you know who is not currently here. What is he like? What images do you conjure in your mind? And perhaps more tellingly, who does your heart think that he is on your best days, and perhaps more importantly, in your worst? These questions may seem strange, but answering them honestly, I have found, is in fact, one of the best diagnostics of spiritual health out there. Often people don't know how to answer the question when I put it to them. They give me stock theological answers. So I find it helpful, as true as those answers may in fact be, to offer up a few ideas to help get their imaginative juices flowing. For example, perhaps your God this morning is an old grandpa with a white beard on a cloud, often the way he's depicted in Renaissance cathedrals and comic strips. Not sure what the relationship there is. Kind of sage-like, but really not all that helpful for day-to-day reality. Or maybe your God is a cold, distant father with a scowl on his face, high standards, and always disappointed in you. Or maybe your God is like Pharaoh of Egypt, always increasing your quotient of bricks and giving you less and less straw. Perhaps he's like a mad scientist with fluffy white hair who is experimenting on you, always ready to take away your happiness so that you can grow. Or maybe he's like an unapproachable judge, sitting high behind his desk, elevated and looming over you, enforcing the letter of the law with stern solemnity, never showing mercy or accommodating weakness. Do any of these images sound familiar to you as you examine your hearts this morning, friends? Let me ask you, does your God ever smile? Does he ever laugh? Dare I ask, does he ever frolic and have fun? Or is he always serious, somber, even sedate like a cold, hard statue? Do you ever hear him say your name? Do you ever hear him say, "I love you"? Can you even imagine that? One of my great spiritual mothers, a woman named Judy, has a knack for meeting anybody and thinking that they are precious. And she calls them that. You are precious. I can hear her saying it. Do you hear God say, "I love you"? Or are you actually never really sure if you're good with him? Who is your God this morning, friends? What does he look like? What does he sound like? What does he demand from you? I'll tell you what, for me, for a very long time, my God was the Pharisees' God, a lawmaker, a detail-oriented judge, perfect, demanding, exacting, and always far away, never willing to lift a finger to help, yet always looking on with a clipboard in hand, making marks indescribably on it, giving me merits for my good deeds and demerits for my bad. But then, as I grew, as I learned and studied and memorized more of Scripture, as I submitted myself to the teaching of men like Dr. Gordon Hugenberger, pastor of Park Street Church in Boston and professor of Old Testament at Gordon-Conwell, my seminary, whose own thoughts on John chapter 10 make an appearance in today's sermon, an altogether different picture began to emerge for me. God became my shepherd. I think that picture is, in fact, closer to the mark than anything I've said before. Unfortunately, we don't live in a herding culture like that of the ancient Hebrews. Our images of shepherds tend to be a bit romantic, rosy, perhaps even soft. Shepherds are almost mythic fairy tale creatures who cuddle cute little ewe lambs in their arms and sing happy campfire songs. This is not the image that would have been conjured among Jesus' disciples when they heard him say, "I am the good shepherd." Shepherds in Jesus' day were hard-edged people. They worked outside, subject to the elements, and especially the hot, unforgiving sun of the Middle East. And their leathery red skin told the tale. Ruddy is the word, and in fact, this word is used by the Old Testament to describe the young King David when he was a shepherd of his father's flock as a young boy. Shepherds worked long hours, days, weeks at a time. Their job was hard, unrelenting, unforgiving, and was not at all enviable by their contemporaries. They had to navigate ravines and harsh desert countrysides, ford streams and rivers, which could become torrential during rainy season in that part of the world. And they constantly had to keep their flock moving from field to field as they looked for grazing land. When we talk, as we did in our psalm this morning, of thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are shepherds' implements, but they, I'll have you note, are for discipline, for poking and prodding and dragging recalcitrant sheep. And these, of course, also made them serve well as weapons, not against the sheep. Shepherds of Jesus' day use rods and staff to fight off wild beasts, which in that part of the world were common and fierce, lions and bears. Remember again how the young future King David, serving as his father's shepherd boy over the flock, told King Saul how he single-handedly fought off a lion to protect his dad's sheep, striking it and killing it with his own hands. Remember that story, friends. This is a day in the life of a shepherd. Ancient shepherds were tough people. The modern equivalent for us Americans might be what you imagine a cowboy to be. Griffy, gritty, scruffy, rough around the edges, with a deep booming voice and a commanding presence. When Jesus describes himself as a shepherd, I want you to have his full meaning. This is no soft, effete, romantic figure like you might see immortalized in stained glass. He is tough as nails, fearless, faithful, leading through rough terrain, through fire and flood, not around them, to good pasture. This is a shepherd. And to fully grab Jesus' meaning, let us also wrap our minds around sheep. Get the cute little ewe lamb out of your mind. Sheep are the dumbest, most stubborn, most timid, most defenseless of all animals. They are a picture of insecurity. They're the only domestic animal you can't release and expect to survive. They often can't find water unless the shepherd actually puts their snout into the water trough. They have been known to starve as they graze a field, even down to eating the roots of the grass, while just over there, within eyesight, but along a path the sheep have never yet trod, is a lush clover field full of all the cleaves and weeds they most enjoy. A sheep can, at full clip, run about 30 miles an hour. Any decent wolf can easily manage 45. They can't even run from danger. This is what sheep are. They are not resourceful creatures. The Bible invites us to see ourselves as sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Let that sink in a bit. We think we are so industrious, so self-made, masters of our own fate and domain. But according to the Bible, our contribution to the story is to be lost and helpless. Understanding the analogy this way has profound implications for us this morning. Allow me to give you three by looking at our gospel reading today. First of all, you can absolutely trust the Good Shepherd. You can trust him, for starters, because he is good. That means he is never out to get you, never out to make you squirm, never out to set you up to fail. He is not experimenting on you like a wild-haired scientist. He is faithful, and he is true. He is always there for you no matter what. He does not grow weary and grow faint. And you can know that his intentions are always good no matter what he may be leading you through. It may seem strange to you at times. Your shepherd may have led you through periods of your life. He may be leading you through one right now, which are strange and uncomfortable, make you unsure, maybe even frightened. You may not understand where he is leading you or why he must take you through the very rocky terrain of heartache and loss to get you there. But he is the good shepherd. You can trust his good intention for you all the while. What does Paul say in the book of Romans? Our God works in all things for the good of those who he has called according to his purpose. You can trust his goodwill. You can also trust his ability, his expertise, you might say, to see you through those rocky places because he is tough. Jesus, the good shepherd, is far more than merely a guide to inner peace and tranquility. He offers us far more than spiritual aphorisms and pie-in-the-sky platitudes, which don't really make all that much difference in life's hard knocks. On the contrary, he will, and indeed has, gone to bat for you against the toughest of enemies. He'll lead you through the rockiest terrains, which he knows by the back of his hand. He'll shelter you under the hottest of noonday suns. And we know that he has power to overcome in all of these things. The young shepherd boy, King David, struck and killed a lion. King Jesus, your good shepherd, has struck and killed death itself. You can trust his goodwill. You can trust his ability. You can also trust his unwavering personal commitment to you, especially as you can trust a good father's commitment to their own children. You are his, he says in our reading today. That indeed he has prioritized your well-being from his eternal perspective above all other considerations. How do we know this? Because he goes to war with the wolf, the devils of this world for us, so that we can find safe pasture. Jesus says so in verses 12 through 14. Because he cares intimately about the sheep who are his, who he knows by name. Jesus says so in verse 13 and in verse 4 of this chapter, not included in our reading today. Because he goes out and searches diligently for the sheep, however lost they may be. Jesus says so in verse 16 and in many other places. But most of all, because he has indeed laid down his life for us, his wayward sheep, Jesus says so in verses 11 and 15. He offers his life in exchange for ours. You can trust him. That's number one. Why does he do this? Why does he lay down his life for us? This brings us to the second implication of this analogy. Because he knows well what most of us, quite frankly, are rather oblivious to, that we as sheep are in mortal peril. The fact that his life is on the line in rescuing us should tell us how desperate indeed our situation is. We spend most of our time ignoring this reality. We blithely go along, oblivious to our plight, at perfect peace. But this peace does not come from a sure knowledge of our security, but from ignorance of our danger. Many of us have clean consciences because we have terribly short memories. We have forgotten all the little ways we have failed to love our neighbors, how we have failed to love our Creator as he deserves, to be loved with our whole hearts and minds and souls and bodies, indeed with everything that you are, every hour, every minute, every second of your day. Do you remember God that often, friends? I don't. Nevertheless, he is a good shepherd, and he comes to us while we were sinners. He seeks and finds us while we are lost. He defeats our enemy. Why, I'll have you note, friends, we were treacherously in cahoots with him to strike down the shepherd. The sheep, as pastors well know, sometimes bite, and they bite hard. He does this, the good shepherd, as Psalm 23 puts it, for his name's sake. In other words, because that is just simply who he is, faithful and true. That's number two. Finally, this analogy Jesus uses teaches us something else which is very important, and I do not want you to miss it. When he says that his sheep know his voice, he speaks of a reality any ancient shepherd would know quite well. For all of their weakness, sheep do have a superpower. They have an uncanny ability to distinguish their shepherd's voice from all others. This is why several shepherds, and this happens even today in Bedouin cultures, can group their flocks together at night for safety, because they know that a simple call in the morning will separate them out all properly again. Of course, this analogy only works for us if Jesus is under the impression that we too can come to know his voice, that we too can have this superpower. If your God today is a stern taskmaster, or a distant father, or an unapproachable judge, or a judgmental Pharisee, or a soft and irrelevant guru, or any other depressing alternative. Let's be honest, friends, that's what they are. Depressing alternative to the good shepherd. Then I invite you this day to learn the voice of Jesus by daily submitting yourself to his timeless words to us in Scripture. In these words, does he call his sheep, and his sheep hear him? All Scripture is breathed out by him. All Scripture points to him. Jesus says so on many occasions. And he speaks to us. And our role is but only to listen. Once again, for us self-made Americans, our role is to receive and to be led and to commit ourselves to him whose we are. This is difficult for us, not least because of the pride of our sin, but because our ears are very plugged up with all kinds of garbage and lies from the world. But we can, because Jesus believed it was true. We can, day by day, little by little, come to discern his voice in all the areas of our lives if we constantly infuse our minds with his words in Scripture, even if we don't understand what they mean. Let them soak in anyway. So come to trust the Good Shepherd with me this day, my friends. Let us enter into his courts with everlasting praise, as our hymn so beautifully said just a moment ago. And let him lead us into green pastures for his name's sake. Amen.